One drop of black blood makes you black, consigns us to the black race, happily so for me, and I would imagine for Obama as well. But the fact of an immediate white parent differentiates us and interrupts solidarity with blacks. And all this is worsened by the fact that whites are historically the oppressor race. Thus, by the dumb logic of racial thinking, our very mother's milk comes through a collaboration with the enemy. More literally, this collaboration may mean that we enjoy more exposure to the dominant culture, more advantages in a color-conscious society. Mistrust and even resentment from other blacks often ensues. And from whites come the sneers one commonly hears in reference to Obama. He's not even really black. Our vulnerability is that both blacks and whites can use our impossible racial authenticity against us. Both races can throw up our mixed background to challenge our authority to speak. And both races can squeeze us in a blues-like double bind where the absurdity is as comic as it is tragic. We dismiss you for not being authentically black, yet we will never accept you as authentically black. Ha ha. When people can call you inauthentic and undermine your moral authority, they have a degree of power in relation to you. And where they have power, you have vulnerability. This would have to be an old and tiresome vulnerability in Barack Obama's life, as it is in mine, and all the more so because he has chosen a public life. One senses that his first book, Dreams from My Father, was meant in part to diffuse some of this vulnerability. In it, he does not merely own up to his interracial background as if to a pass indiscretion. He candidly explores it. He practices that brave and aggressive self-disclosure that disarms by taking away the gossip's ability to surprise. It is harder to deploy a man's vulnerability against him when he publishes it in a book. Still, I glimpsed some of the weariness he must feel at having this vulnerability regularly probed in a 60 Minutes interview that aired near the launching of his presidential campaign. It was the usual 60 Minutes setup, the camera in close enough for a dermatological exam, and there sat Obama, perfectly composed and seemingly ready for anything, the now famous ears framing his good looks and eternal boyishness. The correspondent, Steve Croft, asked a series of predictable political questions and then, hunching forward a bit, entered the territory of identity. There was an allusion to the mixed race background and a question about how Obama saw himself. And here, probably because I knew so well what to look for, I saw the very faintest exasperation come into his eyes and then instantly vanish. Barack Obama has no doubt had a lifetime of rehearsals for this moment, and he must have had 100 answers immediately at hand, all rehearsed to the point of glibness. Yet the answer he finally gave had real pathos precisely because it was so glib. He was rooted, he said, in the African-American community, but he was also more than that. To be sure, this is the formulation of a man with a very complex identity, trying, understandably, to make himself simpler and more recognizable to a society not used to pondering his like. Yet this is also a formulation that reduces Obama's identity to a banality. What could rooted, or more than that, mean? How would the two be simultaneously possible? And for that matter, what could African-American community really mean? A culture? A politics? To become recognizable, he processes himself through the same dumb racial math. He is one thing plus something else that has been the very source of his vulnerability. He collaborates with the same tired racial conventions that made him an odd man out to begin with. And yet a great part of Obama's appeal in broader America, especially his political appeal,